ओम ज्ञानचरणं दस्य गुणानां सुखकर चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मुखं करोति वाचलं भङ्गं भङ्गायते गणिं यत्कृपतां महाभागे श्रीगुरुजीवितानां नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतलये श्रीमते भक्तिविदात् स्वामीजि नमने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेव गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी विशेषशन्यवादि पश्चिचले सतारण्य जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो आई हैव बीन आस्क्ड टू स्पीक टुडे फ्रॉम the chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita. This chapter is entitled Transcendental Knowledge. It is a continuation from the previous chapter. At the end of the previous chapter of chapter 3, Lord Krishna was explaining the nature of lust and how lust can degrade a person. Arjuna had asked the question, what is it that compels a person to act even if sometimes against his own will? And Krishna explained that it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the modes of passion. And which is later transformed into wrath. And which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. And then it described the places where this lust can be found. It's called in the mind and in the heart and the intelligence of the sitting places of this lust. Therefore Krishna recommends that one should try to destroy this lust by transcendental knowledge. Therefore we see in this chapter, chapter 4 is entitled Transcendental Knowledge. So, how to acquire this transcendental knowledge? Well, at the beginning of the chapter it explains, Krishna says that I instructed this knowledge. He calls it the imperishable science of yoga. And to the sun god Vibhaswan, and Vibhaswan instructed it to Manu, and Manu, the father of mankind, in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. So this is called the imperishable science of yoga. But as we'll see in the subsequent verse, it said that although it is imperishable, sometimes it can be lost by the influence of time. So how can something imperishable be lost? So therefore Krishna says, whenever it is lost, I come and I speak it again. And this way the knowledge is imperishable. Ultimately it is never lost because the highest form of knowledge is Krishna Himself. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Matak parataram nanyat kinchid asti dananjaya. He says, there's no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me just like pearls are resting on a thread. So the imperishable knowledge or science of yoga can never be lost. And therefore, Krishna is going to begin by, in this chapter, by explaining the knowledge of himself. That he is never lost. He is always eternally existing. And if he is eternally existing, he is Bhagavan, one who possesses all qualities in full. And one of those qualities is knowledge. He's the supreme knower of everything. In fact, elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I know everything in the past, everything that is happening in the present, and all things that will happen in the future, but me, nobody knows. And he also says, Vedaishya Sayavaraham Eva Veda. He says, by all study of the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedas and the knower of Vedanta. So, therefore, Krishna begins this chapter of these first 10 verses of chapter 4 by describing who is the supreme knower of everything. Of course, some may say, well, why is Krishna establishing, have to establish himself to Arjuna? Arjuna already knows Krishna's position. But as we said, Krishna is establishing it not just for the benefit of Arjuna, but he's establishing it for generations to come. In fact, elsewhere in this chapter, Arjuna is referred to as Parantapa. Arjuna will ask a question to Krishna, saying, how can I understand that you instructed this to Vivaswan, but Vivaswan is senior by birth to you? So Arjuna seems to be proposing some doubt about Krishna. Vivaswan took birth many, many, many years before you. How is it that you are speaking to him and giving him this knowledge? So Arjuna seems to be posing some doubt. But another translation of the word Parantapa means one who gives to others. So Arjuna is actually asking the question not for himself, but for the benefit of others, to give others Krishna's answer. Is this a little adjustment here, I think, required? Yes. Therefore, it is stated that another translation of the word Parantapa means one who gives to others. So in verses 1 through 10 in this chapter of Bhagavad Gita, entitled Transcendental Knowledge, Krishna is going to speak about himself. And that is transcendental knowledge, as we already explained, because Krishna himself is transcendental. Many other places in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains himself to be beyond the modes of material nature. And in these first 10 verses of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also explains that Ajopi San Aviyatma Bhuta Namishwaropi Sam. He says that I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates. And although I am the Lord of all sentient beings, Still, I appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So whenever Krishna appears in this world, his form is not a material form. He is also not forced to take his birth like other living beings who are forced to accept the physical body.
És ő nem kényszerül megszületni más élőlényekhez hasonlóan, akik arra kényszerülnek, hogy elfogadjanak egy fizikai testet.
Krishna will speak about that in this chapter also. He will describe work.
Krishna erről is beszél ebben a fejezetben, amikor a munkáról beszél.
And the consciousness that one must have in the performance of one's work.
És arról a tudatról, amivel rendelkezik el a munka végzése közben.
If one works in the consciousness of being the doer of activities, then he gets reactions to that work, he must take birth again.
Hogyha valaki olyan tudatban cselekszik, hogy azt gondolja, hogy ő a cselekvő, akkor a cselekedeteinek visszahatásai lesznek.
As Krishna says, prakrite kriyamana negunai kamani savasha, he says, the bewildered soul, under the influence of the modes of material nature, he thinks himself to be the doer of activities.
Azt mondja, hogy a megtévesztett lélek az anyagi természet kötőjének hatására ő magát hiszi a tettek végrehajtójának.
Which in actuality are carried out by material nature.
De valójában az anyagi természet végzi azokat.
So therefore, Krishna describes the nature of work also in this chapter. And he'll describe the activities of Nishkam Kama Yoga, which is when one works for the fruits, but he doesn't work for selfish desires. But the living entity who works for selfish desires, he must accept another material body. At the end of this life, whatever reactions accumulated in this life will be kept, and therefore one will take a suitable birth in one's next life according to the desires he has at this life.
Az ember az életben végzett cselekedeteiért összegyűjt különböző visszahatásokat, és azok szerint a visszahatások szerint el kell fogadni egy következő testet.
He says, just as the air carries different aromas from one place to the next, in the same way, the living entity carries different conceptions of life from one body to the next.
Ugyanúgy, ahogy a szél szállítja az illatot az egyik helyről a másikra, ugyanúgy szállítja az élőlény tudata
So whatever conception of life one has at the time of giving up this body, then the Lord as super soul within the heart who knows the desire of the living entity will facilitate his desire and give him a suitable body for his next birth.
Amilyen tudatban vagyunk a testünk elhagyásakor, hogy amilyen koncepciókkal rendelkezünk, akkor a felső lélek ennek tudatában lehetőséget ad nekünk a következő életünkben ezeknek a koncepcióknak a beteljesítésére.
But Krishna doesn't taste birth like this.
De Krishna nem így születik meg.
That is why he's explaining this transcendental knowledge to Arjuna.
Ezért magyarázza ezt a transzcendentális tudást Arjunának.
Srila Prabhupada always used to give the analogy of just like the warden in the prison house. There may be many prisoners in the prison house. And the warden, he's in charge of the prison, he may at some time go into the prison house to inspect. So the prisoners may see the warden, say, oh look, he's in prison.
És akkor a rabok mondhatják, mikor meglátják a börtönöt, hogy nézzétek, börtönben van.
But they may think he's like one of them, a prisoner.
És lehet, hogy azt mondják, hogy ő is olyan, mint ők, egy rab.
But no, he's in charge of the laws of the prison, therefore he's not bound by the laws of the prison.
Nem, ő felelős a börtön törvényeire, és ő nem kötik a börtön törvényeire.
So even though he enters the prison, he also exits the prison.
És ha bár belép a börtönbe, ki is lép onnan.
By his own will. Whereas the prisoners themselves, they are bound due to their misuse of their independence. Srila Prabhupada also gives another example. He says, just like there are demigods who are in charge of universal affairs and the creation and maintenance of the universe.
Srila Prabhupád mond egy másik példát, hogy ugyanígy vannak a félistenek, akik felelősek az univerzum ügyeinek, az irányításáért és fenntartásáért.
And these demigods, they are in charge of various aspects of providing the necessities of life.
És ezek a félistenek felelősek azért, hogy a különböző életszükségeteket biztosítsák.
Demigods in charge of the water. There is Vivaswan, who we're speaking about right now in this first verse, who's in charge of the sunlight. There's demigods in charge of the air, water, all these necessities of life they are in charge of. So in the same way, he says in the prison, sometimes there are good prisoners who on good conduct are given various responsibilities in the prison.
Azt mondja, hogy ugyanígy a börtönben is, hogyha megfelelően viselkednek bizonyos rabok, akkor különböző felelősségeket kapnak.
One of the prisoners may be given some keys to the supply closet.
Lehet, hogy az egyik rab kap kulcsot a raktárhoz, ahol különböző ellátmányok van.
Whenever any of the prisoners, they need supplies like soap or toothpaste, they go to him and he goes to the supply closet.
Hogyha valamelyik rabnak szüksége van pokefére vagy szaporra, vagy pokefére vagy szaporra, akkor hozzá megy, és akkor nála van a kulcs, és oda gyerekére.
Because if they're good conduct in prison, they're given some responsibility and they're given a key.
Jó viselkednek a börtönben, akkor kapnak valamennyi felelősséget, és kapnak egy kulcsot.
One prisoner, may, also responsible prison, may be given a key to the administrative office. Administrative office? Huh? One prisoner who has become responsible may also be given a key to an administrative office. Yeah. But none of them have the keys to the front door. So the Prabhupada makes the point that therefore those who worship the demigods, they may worship the demigods for some benefit, for some material benefit, material gain. But they also, the demigods cannot provide that to the prisoners in the prison house. Only one who can actually give liberation to the bondage of repeated birth and death in the material world is Mukunda, who is known as the giver of liberation. So the point is that Krishna, he is Mukunda, he is the giver of liberation because he is transcendental to this material world. He is beyond the laws that were created by himself. Therefore, he tells Arjuna in the beginning of this chapter of Bhagavad Gita that I instructed this imperishable science to the sun god Vivaswan.
Ezek mondja itt ennek a fejezetnek az elején, hogy én átadtam ezt a maradandó tudományt Vivaswannak.
And he instructed it to Manu, Manu to Ikshvaku, and in this way it is handed down.
És ő tanította Manunak, Manu Ikshvakunak is így szálltam át.
And then he says that this science, supreme science, was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession. And saintly kings understood it in this way. So in other words, it is understood that the kings or the administrative heads of society, they should be conversant with the laws of God.
Tehát itt utal rá, hogy a királyoknak, illetve a társadalom vezetőinek ismerniük kell Isten törvényeit.
Actually, elsewhere it is described in the scripture that the kings are responsible for the activities of the citizens.
Máshol azt mondják az írások, hogy a királyok valójában felelősek a polgárok cselekedeteiért.
And therefore he shares in their sinful reactions.
És ezért részesülnek az ő bűnös visszahatásaiban.
Whatever sinful reactions are accumulated by all of his citizens, he gets 1/6 of all those reactions.
Akkor a bűnös visszahatásból, amit a polgárok felhalmoznak, ő annak az egyhatod részét megkapja.
Therefore, the science of Bhagavad Gita was instructed through a chain of saintly kings.
Ezért a Bhagavad Gita tudományát a szent királyok láncolatának adták.
They are meant to be also to be conversant with the laws of God, because they are the lawmakers of society.
Pedig ismerjék el Isten törvényeit, mert ők hozzák a társadalom törvényeit.
But he's telling Arjuna here that in the course of time, this science was lost. And he said that that very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you, because you are my devotee as well as my friend. And therefore, you can understand the transcendental mystery of this science. This is another very important point that Krishna is making to Arjuna. He says that, I'm telling you because you have some qualification to understand me. You are my devotee and my friend. And therefore I am telling you this knowledge. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Idam tute guyatam pavakshama nasuyave gyanavigyana sahitam yajgatam mokshaseshu. But he says, because you are never envious of me, I shall tell you this transcendental knowledge. Knowing by which you will become relieved from all the miseries of material existence. So Krishna is revealing knowledge, transcendental knowledge to Arjuna, because Arjuna has some qualification. He's Krishna's devotee. Just like if we have some confidential knowledge, we want to share it with our confidential friends. If it's confidential, it means that we do not want to broadcast it to the whole world. Somebody who we have confidence in, that they'll properly understand this and not misuse it, we'll tell them to them, because they'll think, yes, he's my confidential friend, I can tell. So Krishna's telling Arjuna, he says, I'm telling you this because you're my devotee. And you're my confidential friend. So it is very natural for Krishna to explain this science to Arjuna. Now of course, we understand that Arjuna has accepted this role of bewilderment for the benefit of all mankind. Arjuna is an eternal associate of the Lord. And whenever Krishna appears, Arjuna also appears. But he appears to forget Krishna's position, and so that Krishna may leave behind these teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So then Arjuna asks this question. He says, Vivaswan is senior by birth to you. How am I understand in the beginning you instructed the science to him? And we already explained why Arjuna is asking this question. He's asking this question for our benefit. And for the benefit of other saintly kings who will also have to understand the science of Bhagavad Gita. And he is displaying his bewilderment and his duality by the will of the Lord. So Krishna says, many, many births, both you and I have passed. He says, I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. Why is it that Krishna can remember all of them? Because Krishna never changes his body. His body is described as Satchidananda Vigraha. He may manifest different forms. It's described this as the Vaidurya gem manifests different colors when you turn it in different directions.
Azt mondják, hogy a vajd, hogy a drága kő olyan, hogy más-más színűnek tűnik, hogyha a más irányba forgatjuk.
But it's the same gem.
De ugyanaz a drága kő.
In the same way, Krishna may manifest different forms at different times in different places to fulfill different purposes.
Ugyanígy Krishna különböző formákat nyilvánít meg különböző időkben, különböző helyeken, hogy különböző célokat elérjen.
But they are all the same Krishna.
In
the Srimad Bhagavatam is described Ete Chang Sakala Poksa Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mirayantu Yuge Yuge. He says all of these different incarnations of the Lord are either plenary portions or portions of the of plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Shri Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. All of them appear whenever there are disturbances created by the atheists. The Lord appears to protect the theists. So the example is given, just like there may be many candles. And all these candles may be lit by an original candle. All these candles may have the same candle power as the original candle. But still, the original candle is that which lit all other candles. In the same way, there are unlimited forms of Godhead. Just as we gave the example of the Vaidurya gem, which has so many different colors in it, but it is always the same. So in the same way, Krishna never changes. And therefore he can remember everything in the past. He says, many births I have had, but I can remember all of them. Why does Krishna remember all of them? Because his birth and his activities are all divyam, transcendental. That verse comes a little bit later in this chapter. Janma kama cha me divyam, even yo veti tatvata. Fyatva deham punajama, naitim amiti sojana. When anyone who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and my activities, he also does not have to, in this world, also does not have to take his birth again. So he describes that his birth is divyam, transcendental. Which means that Krishna comes by his own desire. That is the difference between Krishna's appearance and his disappearance. He appears and disappears by his own sweet will. And although we may be using the word birth, the actual word is appearance. Just like the sun appears in the eastern horizon and sets in the western horizon. But the sun isn't created in the eastern horizon and it's not destroyed in the western horizon. The sun is always in the sky. But it appears to our vision in the east and disappears from our vision in the west. In the same way, Krishna appears in each and every universe. There are unlimited universes. This is not the only universe. According to the description in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described that at the time of universal creation, there are unlimited universes created from the pores of the body of Mahavishnu. And that the Lord, He appears once in a day of Brahma in each and every one of these universes. Therefore, He comes into this world by His own desire. He has His purposes He wants to fulfill. He explains in this chapter, he says, one of the reasons to come is whenever there is a predominant decline of religious practice and a rise of irreligion, I advent myself.
Ebben a fejezetben magyarázza, hogy bármikor legyen is a vallás anyagban, és túlsúlyban a vallástalanság, akkor megjelenek.
In order to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish religious principles, I come again and again.
Hogy megvédjem a jámborokat, és elpusztítsam a bűnösöket, és újra megszilárdítsam a vallás elveit, újra és újra eljövök.
Parifanaya sadhu nam vinashiya chaturskritam dharma sangstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Krishna is also explains that here in this chapter. That he has a particular purpose that he wants to fulfill. The time of Lord Krishna's appearance was the time when the earth was overburdened by many atheistic kings. And the demigod of the earth, Bhumi, she was actually feeling the weight of that burden.
És a földi
Well, the atheistic kings, they were taking control, and therefore the devotees of the Lord, they were being heavily challenged by the atheistic kings. The atheistic kings were exploiting the resources of material nature.
Az ateista királyok kihasználták az anyagi természet erőforrásait.
They did not understand the principle of sacrifice, that everything that is created in this universe ultimately is meant to be used as a performance of sacrifice for the Lord.
Nem értették az áldozat elvét, hogy minden, ami létezik ebben a világban, azzal a célral létezik, hogy használjuk áldozatban az Úr számára.
In fact, I just read this just this morning in the news. Just this morning. This panel of scientists came out with a statement that in 2006 the earth peaked in its supply of fossil fuel. Fossil fuel? Oil. Peaked. In other words, they were able to extract as much as was needed at that particular time, but now it is starting to decline. That the everyone is consuming more than they can extract from the earth. And they said that by the year 2030, that the production of oil will be half the needs of civilization. That will lead to catastrophic circumstances and undoubtedly to war and loss, major loss of human life. Anyway, it was on CNN. You can read it if you want. But I just saw that, just seen it this morning. And all the scientists are saying it. Many, many scientists have already said it. And it's understood that the leaders of human society are not supposed to exploit the resources of material nature.
And
whenever the resources of material nature are exploited for selfish purposes, then material nature lashes back. And usually it lashes back in the form of wars or some major destruction, catastrophe. Therefore it is understood that the administrative heads are supposed to be conversant with the laws of God. Because if the administrative heads of society encourage sense gratification as the goal of life, and you do not ultimately recognize that everything in this universe is ultimately being provided by the Supreme, without the performances of sacrifice, the result will lead to catastrophe. So, therefore, Krishna is explaining his transcendental nature. And the reason why he comes to reestablish these religious principles. So, I already quoted the verse, Ajo Pisanaviyatma Bhutanamishvaro Pisan, although I'm unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and the Lord of all sentient, of all living beings, living entity, oh, the translation is different now than what I memorized. I still appear in every millennium, my original transcendental form.
I remember.
In recent years, some of our books have been edited just to make them a little bit flow better. And I memorized all the old verses back from
1972-73.
I never switched the mechanisms and memorized new translations. So if you hear me quoting some of the old verses from Macmillan Bhagavad Gita, which was published in 1970-71-72. It's not because I'm rebellious about the editing. Actually, it is a little controversy. Some people were saying that we should not have edited Srila Prabhupada's books. But I'm not quoting the old verses because out of rebellion. It's simply because that's how I remember them. So Krishna is saying, that's a little side point. It has no relevance whatsoever to our discussion. I'm unborn. So how is Krishna take birth and be unborn? Actually, there are a lot of apparent dualities about Krishna's statements in the scripture. One who looks for dualities, he'll find them because he's looking for them. But anyone who knows Krishna in full can understand and reconcile these apparent dualities. Just like Krishna is described as the wealthiest person, everything belongs to him. But Krishna steals butter. Now, why does a person who has everything is coming from him? He says, aham krishnacha jagata pabhavatpalayastata. All that is material, all that is spiritual, that you should know I'm both its origin and dissolution. Aham savasya pabhavatpalayastata. Krishna says, I am the source of the material and spiritual worlds. Everything is emanating from me. The wise who know this perfectly, they engage in my devotional service and worship me with all of their hearts. So Krishna is the source of everything. But he steals butter. Why does Krishna have to steal butter? One who knows Krishna knows why Krishna steals butter. Krishna knows everything. But he asks Uddhava, can you tell me what's the best thing to do right now? Now why does Krishna, who knows everything, have to ask somebody what to do? One who knows Krishna can reconcile these contradictions. Simply by knowing Krishna, one can understand everything. Yasmin vigyate samitat vigyatam bhavanti. When Krishna is known, then everything else that is knowable becomes known.
Hogyha valaki ismeri Krisnát, akkor minden más megismerhető dolog megismert világon számára.
So one who knows Krishna knows that when Krishna says, I don't take birth, but I took birth. They can understand. But they can understand that apparent contradiction.
Aki ismeri Krisnát, az meg tudja érteni azt a látszólagos ellentmondást, hogy Krisna azt mondja, hogy megszületetlen vagyok, de megszületett.
Krishna appears to take birth to give pleasure to his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, and Nanda and Yasoda.
Krishna azért születik meg, hogy örömet okozzon a szüleinek, Vasudevának és Devakinek és Nandának és Yasodának.
Because they perform great sacrifices because they wanted to have the Supreme Lord as their son. And then because Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the fulfiller of all desires, someone performs great sacrifices, wants to have the Lord as their son, then the Lord will satisfy them and will appear as their son.
Hogyha valakinek demondásokat végez azért, hogy az Úr a fiává váljon, akkor az Úr a fiává válik, megjelenik.
Yasoda, she holds Krishna in her arms, and she's thinking, this is the son who I gave birth to from my womb.
Yasoda anya így ringatja a kezében Krishnát, és azt mondja, hogy ez a kisfiam, akit a méhemből szültem.
But actually, Krishna's appearance was divyam, transcendental.
De valójában Krishna megjelenése divyam, transcendental.
He appeared also simultaneously in the prison house of Kamsa, and he appeared first in his forearm form to show Vasudeva and Devaki, you prayed to get God as your son, here I am. Vasudeva and Devaki had in their previous life had performed great austerity so that the Lord would appear as their son. And just to give pleasure to them, when Krishna first appeared, he appeared first in his forearm form.
És csak hogy örömet okozza nekik Krishna, amikor először megjelent a négyfalú formájában.
Holding his club, conch shell, disc and lotus flower.
Kezében volt a buzogány, a korong, a lótuszvirág és a...
Just so that they could see, oh my God, this is Krishna. He's appeared as our son. And then Krishna manifested his two-armed form. And then, of course, there's a whole story of how Krishna was carried to Vrindavan because Vasudeva and Devaki were concerned about Krishna because they thought Kamsa was going to kill him. Because there was a prophecy that was told that the eighth child of Devaki would be the cause of death for Kamsa, who was one of those evil kings. Another name for Krishna is Kamsahanda. He's one who came to destroy Kamsa. Okay, so he says, Paratranaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chaduskritam. I appear to protect my devotees and to annihilate the miscreants. So he appears of his own choice. He is not forced to accept a birth. Therefore we say his birth is transcendental. Because although he is in this world, he is not of this world. Just as the lotus flower sits in the water, but because there's a film covering the lotus flower, it's never really touching the water.
Ahogy a lótuszvirág ura a vízen, mire van egy réteg, ami befedi a virág szilma, és sosem érinti a víz a szilmaga.
In the same way, when Krishna comes to this world, he is not in this world.
De Krishna nem ebből a világból való.
He comes to fulfill his purposes.
Azért jön, hogy beteljesítse a célját.
And then he has to make some arrangement to leave.
És akkor valamilyen elrendezést kell tennie, hogy elmenjen.
that is also by his divine arrangement, how he makes an arrangement to leave.
The long story
we won't get into, but as the essence of the story is that Krishna leaves by his own sweet will. Which is quite different from those who are forced to take birth.
Ami különbözik azoktól, akik kényszerülnek arra, hogy megszülessenek.
We do not find anybody leaving their bodies by their own sweet will.
Nem találunk senkit, aki a saját szabad akaratában adná el testét.
It is usually old age, disease,
általában az öregkor,
catastrophe,
valamilyen katasztrófa.
Everyone is forced to leave this body.
Mindenki kényszerül arra, hogy elhagyja a testét.
Prabhupada one time said, death rate is the same as it always was. Anybody has to take a calculation of what is the death rate in society. It's very easy to calculate. It's 100%. Prabhupada uses often to emphasize the point that everybody is leaving, but nobody wants to leave. So the difference is that Krishna leaves when he wants to leave. When his purpose is fulfilled, and then it's time for him to go to the next universe. Therefore, his appearance and disappearance are described as transcendental. And he can use the word divyam in relationship to his appearance, his birth, and his disappearance. But he says something very important in these verses of Bhagavad Gita. We already quoted the verse and it's coming up very soon. He says, janma kama cha me divyam even yolveti tatva tatyakva deham punarjamam naiti mamiti sojuna. He says, my appearance and activities in this world are transcendental, and anyone who knows this, he also becomes transcendental. He said, upon leaving this material world, he never has to take his birth again. But he attains my eternal abode. Elsewhere in this chapter, Krishna also says, namam kamani limpanti namai karma pale spiha iti mam yobi janati karma bhyanasa bhajate. He says, there's no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. Anyone who knows this truth about me will also not become entangled in the fruit of reactions to his work. Krishna is describing the benefits of transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge leads to transcendence. One who actually learns transcendental knowledge, then he can also and understand and know why Krishna comes to this world and how he comes to this world. He also will not have to take his birth again.
Aki transzendentális tudásra teszenek, és megérti, hogy hogyan jön el Krishna ebbe a világba, és miért jön el, az szintén transzendentálisra válik.
He becomes transcendental. Now, that he becomes transcendental doesn't mean that he becomes God.
Az, hogy transzendentálisra válik, az viszont nem jelenti azt, hogy ő Isten lesz.
Which is sometimes it's a misconception which is presented by different schools of thought.
Ami egy tévfelfogás, amit különböző iskolák tanítanak.
That ultimately we are all God.
Hogy végsősorban mindannyian Istenek.
And when we become realized, we realize that we're God.
És hogyha önmegvalósítottá válunk, akkor megvalósítjuk, hogy mi vagyunk Isten.
And Prabhupada would oftentimes say that if we were God, then how did we ever forget that we were God? And the only answer that someone can give if they want to completely, fully justify that they are God and forgot they were God, they will say, it's my pastime to forget. And then Prabhupada would say, oh, so this is your pastime? I will kick in your face with my boot. You enjoy it. Why are you trying to stop me? It's pastime. Pastime means everything you do is enjoyment. Why are you putting your hands to block my foot? Enjoy my foot. So Prabhupada, it was very, very emphatic that the living entity, the living entity, it can never become God. Because, and therefore he very specifically explains that never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all the kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. If they were all one, why did Krishna bother to make a distinction between the kings and everyone else present on the battlefield? He would have just said, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor ever in the future will I ever cease to be. But he said something quite different. He said, never was a time when I did not exist, never was a time when you did not exist, never was a time when all these kings did not exist. So he made it very clear that the individuality and distinction of every living being is eternal. And there's a fundamental difference between God and the living entity. And the fundamental difference is God is always God and the living entity is never God. It's a very simple understanding. But those who want to become God can't understand. And therefore Krishna says, tells Arjuna, I'm telling you all this about me because you're my devotee. Because you're not envious of me. Those who are envious to say, why do you always get to enjoy? Why do you have to be the supreme controller? Why do you always get the opportunity to possess everything? And as we see, there are many atheists who wish to challenge God. Much more powerful than the atheists of today. But they found the same destination as everybody else is finding in modern society. They were destroyed. Either Krishna came and destroyed them, or time. In the form of time, they were destroyed. Therefore, Krishna says, I am time, kalosmi. I am time and I've come to destroy everything in this world in the form of time. Because time destroys everything in this world. Everything has its birth, it grows for some time. What is it? Birth grows, stays for some time, produces byproduct, dwindles and vanishes. You got six of them, right? So that is the nature of these bodies. Take their birth, they grow, they produce byproducts, dwindle and vanish. So Krishna, but he does not. And Krishna says, if you know this transcendental nature about me, you won't have to take another birth. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Antakale chamamivas maran mukva kalevaram. Whoever remembers me at the time of giving up this body at once attains my transcendental nature. Of this there is no doubt. So all these things that we're discussing is we're covering the first 10 verses of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna speaks about himself.
Tehát itt erről az első 10 versről beszélünk, ahol Krisna magáról beszél.
Well, usually if somebody speaks about themselves, we say that they're very vain. Why is somebody always speaking about themselves? Well, Krishna has to speak about himself because that's the only way he can actually give this knowledge, transcendental knowledge. But he's not speaking this knowledge about himself out of vanity. In fact, Krishna is not in the least bit vain. Because well, this is, of course, an esoteric subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. But nonetheless, it should be understood. We've already alluded to it, that we said that God enjoys. He's Purusha, the supreme enjoyer. But what does he enjoy? How does he enjoy? He enjoys by giving pleasure to his devotees. That is his greatest pleasure. He's and elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Machita Magata Prana Bodhiyaktak Parasparam. He says, engage constantly in hearing and chanting about me. But my devotee never. What is it? Engage constantly in hearing and chanting about me. What is it?
They
derive great pleasure and satisfaction, enlightening one another and conversing about me. In other words, the devotee is actually what happens is Krishna says that when devotees hear about me, when they talk about me, and when they discuss one about me about with between one another, they experience a pleasure which is superior to the pleasure of this material world. That is the higher taste, a higher pleasure. Vishaya vinivartante narahasyadehina rasa vajam rasopyasa param jishtvandavartate. The embodied soul may restrict himself from sense enjoyment, although the taste for sense objects still remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he becomes fixed in consciousness. So when Krishna speaks about himself and when others hear about Krishna, what happens? They become enlightened. They become happy. They become joyful. Because they realize their transcendental nature. That I don't have to suffer. Krishna came to this world just so I don't have to suffer. He came and spoke this message of Bhagavad Gita just so I don't have to take another birth again. Of course, first we have to realize that we're suffering, and sometimes that takes a little time. Some of us will be very persistent and insist that actually there's more pleasure than there is suffering. And for that purpose, therefore, Krishna has given in this chapter many different types of sacrifices that one can perform. In the later part of this chapter, Krishna describes different types of sacrifices according to the psychological nature of the living being. Those who cannot sacrifice by always remembering Krishna, Krishna says it's okay, then perform idang tute guya tamam pavakshami. No, not that verse. He says Follow the regular principles of bhakti yoga, and this way you'll develop a desire to attain me. And he says, for those who can't do that, it's then to seek knowledge. And he says, for those who can't do that, then offer the fruits of your work. And for those who can't do that, he gives many different concessions according to the mentality of a person who's still in the bodily concept of life. Because it is not very easy to immediately give up the bodily concept of life. The bodily concept of life is very powerful. They describe there are different layers of covering of the soul. This earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. He described these are the different layers of material layers covering the soul. And the spirit soul is covered by these five physical elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and three subtle elements: mind, intelligence, and false ego. And each layer is thicker and more difficult to break through. What is the most difficult? False ego. False ego means to identify myself with the body. And the false ego means to forget that I am eternal spirit soul. By nature, I am a servant of Krishna. Krishna says, I am situated within everyone's heart, and for me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. If we want to forget Krishna, Krishna will allow us to forget Him, and will give us unlimited things to preoccupy ourselves to do in this world, to forget Him. My spiritual master, he was very compassionate. He was always feeling for the sufferings of human society. One time he was driving along in an automobile and he was going to some program. And he saw something that he had never seen before. And he saw some people playing golf. And he asked his disciples in the car, he said, what are they doing? And his disciples said, well, Srila Prabhupada, this is called golf. People have these little sticks in a bag, and all day long they go around and they hit this little white ball into a hole. And Prabhupada started to cry. And he said, they have done so many things simply to forget Krishna. This is how he felt. That there's unlimited ways we can preoccupy our minds and activities in this world to forget God. And that's all coming from Krishna. Krishna's created everything. He's given it. Well, someone might say, why did he give it? Because Krishna says, I'm seated within everyone's heart. And I know what they want. If they want to forget me, then I give them unlimited ways to forget me. But he also says, Tesham Ivanu Kampratam, Ahama Gyana Jam Tama. Nashayam Yatma Bhavasto Gyana Dipena Bhasvata. He says, out of compassion for them, I who am sitting within their hearts, I destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. He's saying that out of compassion for them, I am within their hearts, I'll destroy this this darkness of ignorance from within their heart.
With
the weapon of transcendental knowledge. So although Krishna has given so much to forget, He'll give us a means to remember Him if we simply turn to Him. He has given us that choice. That freedom to choose. Freedom to, Srila Prabhupada once said, that freedom to choose means that we have to have the right to do that which is wrong. That's freedom of choice. And if we don't have freedom of choice, how can we love God? I think we mentioned that last time we were speaking here. We gave the example. If somebody puts a gun to your head that says, love me, is that love? No, it must be our own personal choice to actually experience love. So Krishna gives us so many different opportunities to make that choice. And one of those opportunities is transcendental knowledge. And therefore he never forgets the living entities who are bound in the material world. He comes to reestablish this path of transcendental knowledge by speaking it to his devotee. He comes to renovate the principles of devotional service by hearing and chanting about these teachings which he has given. And he also leaves himself behind in the form of Bhagavad Gita. In the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's understood that the Lord personally is manifests in the pages of Bhagavad Gita. Of course, the Lord is personally manifest when Bhagavad Gita is heard from the right source. And therefore Krishna explains in this fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Panipatina Pariprashtina Sivya Upatekshanti Tegyanam Gyanina Sattva Darshana. He says that one has to try to understand the truth by hearing from a self-realized spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service to him. He will impart this transcendental knowledge to you because he has seen the truth. We've actually skipped over a lot of the verses of this chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I'm just trying to catch the essence, which is transcendental knowledge. But one actually has to learn how to receive transcendental knowledge in the same way as Arjuna received knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. That knowledge must be preserved, must be kept intact. Prabhupada used to use the analogy that if one wants to get the ripened fruit of a tree, and if the ripe fruit is on top of the tree, one doesn't simply climb the tree and drop it to the ground. The fruits will be destroyed. So he gives the example in India when they are collecting the mangoes from the top of the tree. Then they have different men standing at different levels of the tree. And the person on top, he takes the mango and he hands it to the person below him, and he hands it to the person below him, and he hands it to the person below him. And this way the mango comes down intact. In the same way, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic wisdom.
Ugyanígy a Bhagavad Gita és a Srimad Bhagavatam az a védikus bölcsesség pályának az érdekű bölcse.
When the fruit is very ripe, it's also very delicate, very fragile.
Amikor a gyümölcs nagyon édes, akkor nagyon puha is, és ilyen törékeny.
So it must be handed down and handed down and handed down and kept intact. Then one will be able to enjoy the fruit. But if the fruit is somehow destroyed, as Krishna says, this knowledge was lost, and therefore I had to come back again and present it again.
De hogyha ez a gyümölcs megsérül, amit Krisna mondta korábban, hogy ez a tudás elveszett, és ezért el kellett jönnöm, hogy újra elmondja.
In other words, if the knowledge is changed or distorted,
másszor, hogyha a tudás meg van változtatva, vagy el van torzítva,
then the fruit will no longer be ripe, and one will not be able to taste the sweetness.
Akkor a gyümölcs nem lesz érett, és nem tudjuk annak az édességét megízlenni.
So one must keep the fruit intact by repeating what one has heard in the cyclic succession. This is the method of receiving transcendental knowledge. One who has received transcendental knowledge, then he knows how to work and to perform sacrifices.
Aki megkapta a transzendentális tudást, az tudja, hogy hogyan kell cselekedni, és hogyan kell áldozatokat végezni.
Transcendental knowledge doesn't simply mean that one sits in his chair and says, I have knowledge, and becomes armchair speculator.
A transzendentális tudás nem azt jelenti, hogy valaki csak hátradől egy karosszékben, és ott ül, és egy ilyen karosszék filozófus lesz.
But the essence of this chapter, the Bhagavad Gita, is how to work in knowledge.
Ennek a Bhagavad Gita, ennek a fejezetének a lényege az, hogy hogyan kell tudással cselekedni.
Nishkam kama yoga means how to work, but without the desire for sense enjoyment. So that is Nishkam Kama Yoga. But above that, Krishna establishes at the end of this chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He describes all different types of sacrifices that by performance of them one obtains knowledge.
Beszél a különböző áldozatokról, amelyek nézésével az ember tudásod összer.
But then he says, excuse me. The way he describes one become develops love for me. Maybe it's the old translation. I'm sorry. I'll just read a few verses here and I'm sure I'll come to it. He says, in this world there's nothing so 38. In this world there's nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge.
Azt mondja, 38-as verzen, hogy ebben a világban semmi sem olyan magasztos és tiszta, mint a transzendentális tudás.
Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism.
Ez a tudás minden misztika élet gyümölcse.
And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time.
Valaki tökéletessé válik az odaadószolgálat nézése során az időben belül örvend a tudásnak.
It's been changed. He used to say, loves develops his love for me. Maybe I'm thinking of a different verse. Huh? Which verse is that? Huh?
410.
Oh yes, that's right. Okay. 410. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. Krishna in this verse he's describing, as we said, he ended the last chapter about lust. And anger. He said, but when Arjuna asked Krishna what forces a person to act against his will, Krishna says it is lust
only Arjuna, which is born in contact with the mode of passion, which is later transformed into anger.
Krishna azt mondja, akkor Arjuna kérdezi, hogy mi az, ami az akaratom ellenére arra készít, hogy úgy cselekedjek, ami ellene megy az akaratomnak, akkor mi okozza ezt, és akkor azt mondja, hogy a kéj az ó Arjuna, ami később bűvé válik, ami a szenvedély köteléről való kapcsolatban születik, és ami a világ mindent elpusztító ellensége.
So in this verse, Krishna is now saying, after one gets transcendental knowledge, he's free from attachment, fear and anger.
Tehát itt azt mondja, hogyha valaki transzendentális üresre szeret, akkor megszabadul a félelemtől és a haragtól.
He's absorbed in me, he takes refuge in me. And they all attain transcendental love for me. So beyond the platform of Nishkam Karma Yoga, simply working without the desire of enjoying the fruits of one's work, is to work for Krishna.
Tehát ez a Nishkam Karma Yoga, amikor valaki nem az élvezetre vágyva cselekszik, és a gyümölcsök Krisztának ajánlja, ez Krisztának való cselekvés.
And the fact that we're going to see at the end of this chapter, Arjuna is going to be bewildered again.
És látjuk, hogy a fejezet végén Arjuna megint megzavarodik.
He's going to say, Krishna, you're telling me that the highest benefit is to come to the platform of transcendental knowledge.
Azt mondja, hogy Krishna, te azt mondod nekem, hogy a legmagasabb szintű dolog, hogy valaki elérje a transzendentális tudásszintjét.
But his last words to Krishna is, stand up and fight.
That's
last words to Arjuna. So Arjuna is bewildered now. I thought knowledge is the highest benefit. Now why are you telling me to fight? So on beyond the platform of Nishkam Karma Yoga, working without the desire to enjoy the fruits, is working for the pleasure of Krishna.
De ez a Nishkam Karma Yoga az, hogy, tehát, hogy úgy cselekszünk, hogy nem vagyunk a munka gyümölcsére, az azt jelenti, hogy Krishnának az örömére cselekszünk.
Therefore, Krishna says, one who sees action and inaction, and inaction and inaction.
Ezért mondja Krishna, hogy aki a cselekvésben tétlenséget és a tétlenségben cselekvésben.
Inaction means that the soul simply desires. He's acting, but there's no reaction to his work. He appears to be working. But because he's meditating on Krishna's pleasure, there's no reactions to his work. And therefore, he's not actually acting. He's simply acting as an instrument for the service of the Lord. Whereas one who works for himself, to please himself, he gets a reaction to his work. Externally, both activities appear to be the same. But the reactions are different. One who works simply for pleasure, he gets reaction to that pleasure. And even if one works and gives up the fruits of his work, he's still not on a platform as high as one who works and gives everything to Krishna. Someone may work and he's motivated to get the fruit and says, okay, when I get the fruit, I'll give it to Krishna.
Lehet, hogy valaki dolgozik, de motivált, hogy megkapja a munkája gyümölcsét, és azt mondja, hogy ha megkapom a gyümölcsét, odaadom Krisztának.
But he's motivated by the fruit.
De a gyümölcs motiválja.
I'll keep on going because I want to get that result.
Csinálom tovább, mert meg akarom kapni ezt az eredményt.
But one who's in Krishna consciousness,
de aki Krisztus tudatos,
who's always thinking of Krishna's pleasure,
aki mindig Krisztus örömére gondol,
he is motivated simply by Krishna's desire.
Azt mindig Krisztának a vágya motiválja.
Therefore, he doesn't think of the result.
Ezért ő nem gondol az eredményre.
The result will automatically come. The result will be he'll develop love for Krishna.
Az eredmény automatikusan jön, és az lesz, hogy kifejezzük szeretetet Krisztának.
That is the real result of all of one's work in this world.
Ez a világon végzett minden munkának a valódi eredménye.
It is the goal of all religion.
És minden vallásnak a célja.
And it's manifest by the development of transcendental knowledge, which is originated from Krishna himself. One who has this knowledge can work, and but work for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Krishna culminates this instruction in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He says, "In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection." In such devotional service, you should become fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles of material life by my grace. But if you do not work in such consciousness, and instead act through false ego, not hearing me, because you're not hearing me, you will be lost. So this is the essence of Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita. It's not to simply to retreat and do nothing. He's not saying real renunciation means simply to stop doing everything. Every living being by nature, he has to do something. Because the soul is eternal. And the activity of the soul is desire. So everyone has to do something. Not even for a moment can the living entity be totally inactive. Because this desire is the eternal companion of the soul. So one has to learn how to transform this desire. Transform lust into love. Transform the results of work into the work for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. This is one who truly understands the difference between action and inaction. And therefore, when Krishna tells Arjuna, now armed with knowledge, stand up and fight. Now you have this knowledge. Now you can't run off to the forest and sit like a renunciant, simply meditating on Brahman. You have a duty you have to perform for my pleasure. Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight. And that's the highest principle of religion. Sarva dhammam puritajya mamikam sharanam braja hantam sarva papibhyo mokshishami mashachaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me, and I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So it does not mean that the transcendentalist becomes inactive. No, he is active. He works. Sometimes people even say that, you know, to us. You know. Prabhupada would always challenge. He'd say, you know, why don't you people work? But the devotees are working, but they're working according to their nature. Everyone has to work according to his nature. And Prabhupada would oftentimes explain that in human society there are four categories of work in human society. In fact, that's also explained in this chapter. Chaturvanya Maya Shishtam Guna Kama Vibhagasha.
Akkor ezt is ebből a fejezetben magyarázza Prabhupád, hogy négy
fél
természete van az embereknek.
So he says, we have come to train up a class of men as Brahmins for four orders of society.
Mi azért jöttünk, hogy képezzük az embereknek ezt a Brahman a rétegét.
Just as the body has the head, it has the arms, it has the legs and the stomach.
Ugyanúgy, hogy a testnek is van feje, törzse, karja, lába.
In the same way, human society must have a head to society. The Brahminical class of society, which is to show the proper direction by the performance of sacrifice.
hogy hogyan kell cselekedni az áldozat végzésével.
They cry as administrators, proper leaders who are knowledgeable about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita.
Szükség van megfelelő vezetőkre, akik ismerik a Bhagavad Gita tanításait.
Those who are working, the vaishyas, they work, they're a mercantile class of men and then the working class of men.
És aztán vannak a vajság és vannak a mohán munkás osztály.
He says, these four classes of society, they were created by me.
Azt mondja, hogy a társadalomnak ezt a négy osztályát én hoztam létre.
But I'm above them. But they, all of them, while they are in this world, they have to work within this world according to their nature. But to learn how to work and at the same time give up the fruits of one's work for the satisfaction of the Lord. Elsewhere, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that one who renounces the fruits of his work, without understanding the relationship with the Supreme Lord, what is that verse? He lights no fire and performs no work. Sixth chapter. I'm forgetting my verses. Bhagavad Gita. Huh? Six one. Yes, that's right. That's the verse. 6-1. One who is unattached, anashrita kama phalam karma kama karotiya. One who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life.
Ez a hatodik fejezet első verse, hogy aki nem ragaszkodik munkája gyümölcséhez, és kötelessége szerint cselekszik, az az élet nem mondott rendjében él.
And he is the true mystic.
Ő az igazi misztikus.
Not he who lights no fire and performs no work.
Nem a tüzet megnyitó, és a munkáját nem végző.
So the point is, it's not simply by renouncing, that doesn't mean that we just don't do anything and become a sycophant to society.
This is
not the type of renunciation that Krishna is recommending to Arjuna. To just simply renounce world and become a parasite.
Krishna nem azt mondja, hogy nem ezt javasolja, hogy egyszerűen csak ne dolgozzunk, és ilyen paraziták, vagy élősködőkké váljunk.
He says, no, everyone has to perform some work.
Azt mondja, hogy mindenkinek kell valamilyen munkát végeznie.
But they have to work according to their nature.
De a természetük szerint kell dolgozniuk.
And they have to offer the real renunciation means to offer the fruits of their work to Krishna.
És a valódi lemondás az, hogy a tettek gyümölcsét Krishnának ajánljuk.
Anyways, that is, we've tried to stick as much to the verses of the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as possible. That is a little summary of the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I think we're supposed to end by 11:30, right? Oh, thank you very much for your kind attention. Please forgive me if I said anything. It was difficult to understand. Hare Krishna. There's questions? Or? Yes.
Hogyan lehet elmagyarázni valakinek ezeket a dolgokat Krisnával kapcsolatban, hogy Krisna vajatok volt, vagy elrakja a Gópiknak a ruháit, vagy elszalad más lányokkal, valaki esetleg azt gondolja, hogy hát a Krisna csinálhatta, akkor én is csinálhatom, hogy hogyan lehet elmagyarázni ezt valakinek.
Well, there's two different parts to your question. The first was stealing the butter and the other one was running off with the gopis, right? They're two different things. So we'll take one at a time. First of all, to explain it is
not easy for someone to understand unless they're willing to understand. Srila Prabhupada even says in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he says, even if one doesn't accept that Krishna is God, at least if he theoretically accepts Krishna as God, he can read this book.
Srila Prabhupada kifának az elején azt mondja, hogy ha valaki nem is fogadja el, hogy Krishna Isten, teoretikusan elfogadja, akkor tudja olvasni ezt a könyvet.
So he's saying, you may not accept that Krishna is God, that's okay, but for reading this book, theoretically accept it. And then maybe by the time you come to the end of it, you'll, by theoretically accepting that the speaker is God, you'll accept that Krishna is God.
És amiatt, hogy elméletileg elfogadtad, hogy Krishna lehetséges, hogy Isten, mire befejezed a könyvet, lehet, hogy elfogadod fogadni, hogy Isten.
So the point he's making is that at least for some time one has to theoretically accept.
De a lényeg az, hogy valamennyi ideig az embernek legalább teoretikusan el kell fogadnia.
So there has to be some will on part of the hearer to want it to understand.
Tehát a hallgató részéről ott kell, hogy legyen ez a szándék, hogy én ezt meg akarom érteni.
If somebody doesn't want to understand, you can tell them the whole thing and they'll still challenge and will not understand. Because your question was, how do you tell somebody else? I'm not talking to you. But as far as stealing butter, Krishna steals butter because it gives pleasure to the devotees. And the fact that everything that Krishna does with his pure devotees gives them pleasure. And it's described by our previous acharyas that this quality of bhakta vatsalya, Krishna's submission to his devotees, is his highest quality.
Az előző áncsereik azt mondják, hogy Krishnának ez a bhakta vatsalya tulajdonsága, vagyis az, hogy alárendeli magát a baktáinak, ez a, vagy hagyja, hogy a baktái legyőzzék, ez az a legmagasabb rendű tulajdonsága.
He compares it just like the all-powerful conquering king that conquers over all the other kings.
Azt mondják, hogy ez olyan, mint a leghatalmasabb király, aki legyőz minden másik királyt, mindenkit meghódít.
It's the same thing. This quality of Krishna, bhakta vatsalya, where he submits himself to his devotee, is the quality that conquers over all his other qualities.
Ugyanígy Krishnának ez a bhakta vatsalya tulajdonsága, tehát ez, hogy a baktái le tudják győzni, ez uralkodik az összes többi tulajdonságot felett, vagy legyőzi az összes többi tulajdonságot.
It's what makes him really great. God is not great because he's the supreme controller. God is not great because he's the supreme proprietor. That's only part of what makes him great. What makes him even greater? And that is that he is the supreme controller. He is the supreme proprietor. He is the supreme knower. He is the most famous. He is the most beautiful. He is the most renounced. But even though he is, he subordinates himself to his devotees. He allows himself to become controlled by his devotees. Which means is that he'll do something that may even appear contradictory to the external world just because it's pleasing to his devotees. Because pleasing his devotees is what gives him the highest pleasure. Sometimes you talk about a win-win situation, you know. You're always looking for a win-win. What's the highest win-win situation? Krishna's most pleased by pleasing you. And you're most pleased by pleasing him. And that pleasure grows. That is Ananda. That's the pleasure a devotee feels. It's a competition that takes place between the Lord and his devotee. The devotee is trying to defeat Krishna. And Krishna allows himself to become defeated. And then when Krishna becomes defeated, he feels the highest pleasure because he's been defeated by his devotee. Nobody else can defeat Krishna. But a devotee can defeat Krishna because he allows himself by his devotee's love. The gopis like it when Krishna steals the butter. They like talking about it. They immediately run over to Yashoda's house. Do you know what your son did? The gopis, and they talk so much saying that your son was at my house stealing all the butter this morning. Not only that, but he let the calves out and the calves went and drank all the milk of the cows before we got a chance to milk the cows. And the gopis, after saying all this, are sort of saying, actually, we're not angry. We love talking about your son. They need something to talk about. What better thing to talk about is Krishna's mischievous activities. Just like a mischievous child in the corner of the room, he's always trying to get everyone's attention. Have you ever had that experience? There are 10, 12 people in the room, there's some child, everything he does makes noise, banks the door, he pulls down the lamp. He's got everybody's attention. You're trying to have a serious discussion. And you can't even have a serious discussion because this child is just constantly attracting attention. That's what Krishna does as a child. But who is he? And what and why and everyone's attention is on God. They're all thinking about him, they're all talking about him, they're talking about his mischievous activities. And they're experiencing the highest bliss. Krishna's competing. He's giving them bliss by engaging in mischievous activities. And not only that, but he's giving the butter and distributing it to the monkeys and to his cowherd boyfriends. I just read just last night. Krishna was sitting and eating breakfast after Radharani had cooked with all of the gopis and the sakis, they cooked the enormous breakfast. And Yashoda and Rohini, they were actually cooking everything that Radharani makes. And Mother Yashoda, she wants Radharani to cook because she got a benediction from Durvasa Muni that whoever eats her cooking will become healthy, will live long time, and he'll be able to conquer anyone. Therefore, every morning Radharani comes and she cooks for Krishna. She has all her global friends cooking. And Krishna gets an opportunity to see Radharani. As cooking in the kitchen, he's looking out through the corner of his eye. We'll get to the gopis next. But the point was, Krishna took all his favorite preparations and he knew with each one of his childhood boyfriends what their favorite preparations were. And he took them up. When Mother Yashoda was looking the other way, he said, oh, look at the monkey. look at the mischief he's making. Everybody looked, and Krishna took everything off his plate and gave it to each friend whose favorite preparation was that preparation that he put on his plate.
És amikor Jasodanya elfordult, így elterelt a figyelmét, hogy jól nézzétek, hogy rosszalkod itt ez a majom, és amikor mindenkinek elterelődött a figyelme, akkor odaadta a barátjának azt, ami az ő kedvence volt a saját tányérjában.
So, every one of his friends got their favorite preparation put on the plate.
Minden barátjának a tányérjára azt került, ami az ő kedvence volt.
And Krishna just distracted them by told, look at that monkey who's trying to steal over there. They all look the other way. Krishna put everything in everyone's plate. And then Krishna said, look, I ate it all. Anyways, so the point is this desire of Krishna to perform mischievous activities is a way that Krishna gives pleasure to everyone. And it's the same thing with the gopis. And Krishna's enjoyment with the gopis, Prabhupada gives the examples like the difference between lead and gold, iron and gold.
Mikor Krishna a gopikkal élvez, akkor Prabhupada az aranynak és a vasnak a példáját hozza.
He said that which is the lowest activity in this world is the highest activity in the spiritual world.
Azt mondja, hogy ami a legalacsonyabb rendű dolog ebben a világban, az a legmagasabb rendű dolog a lelki világban.
The point that in Krishna's a pleasure pastimes with the gopis, there is no lust.
Azt mondja, hogy a Krishnának a gopika folytatott élvezettel teli kezdeléseiben az a lényeg, hogy nincs benne kérés.
When Radharani is looking in the mirror and seeing how beautiful she appears when all the gopis are making her body, putting all kinds of mascara and colorful unguents and painting her face and making her look so beautiful. When she looks in the mirror, she's thinking how much Krishna is going to enjoy her.
Amikor Radharani belenéz a tükörbe, miközben a gópik felvészítik őt, és kifestik, és felszerezik, akkor és látja magát a tükörben, akkor csak arra gondol, hogy mikor látja, hogy milyen gyönyörű, hogy Krishna hogyan fogja tudni elvezni őt.
And Krishna is not thinking of enjoying at all.
És Krishna egyáltalán nem arra gondol, hogy elvezni.
He is the enjoyer. What he is preoccupied is in thinking about how to give pleasure to his devotees,
as we described.
Therefore, there is no mundane lust in these activities, like the mundane lust of the material world, where the person is thinking, "Let me enjoy." And the difference is that mundane lust always ends in suffering.
És a különbség az, hogy az anyagi kének a vége mindig szenvedés.
And love always increases in pleasure.
És a szeretet pedig mindig növeli a boldogságot.
That is how to understand the difference between lust and love.
Innen lehet tudni, hogy mi a különbség a kék és a szeretet között.
So in Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, there is no lust.
Így amikor Krishna és a gopi kettelései folynak, abban nincs kék.
Although sometimes the word lust is used by the acharyas, because there's no English equivalent. But lust means for my pleasure. And neither Krishna nor the gopis ever think of their own pleasure first. Krishna always thinks of the pleasure of his devotees, and the devotees always think of Krishna's pleasure.
Krishna mindig a baktai boldogságára gondol, és a bakták mindig Krishna boldogságára gondolnak.
And therefore the pastimes between Krishna and the gopis is like gold.
Ezért Krishna és a gopi kettelése olyanok, mint az arany.
And can never be imitated.
És sosem lehet őket imitálni.
One who tries to imitate the pastimes of the Lord.
Aki imitálni próbálja az Úr kettelését.
It's described as much just like the person who tries to imitate Lord Shiva, who drinks an ocean of poison. The powerful controllers, they can engage in certain activities and there'll be no consequences to their activities. Lord Shiva can drink a whole ocean of poison and hold it in his throat to protect the people in general.
Az Úr Shiva meg tud inni egy egész méregóceánt, és a torkában tudja tartani, hogy megvédje az embereket.
That's Lord Shiva.
Ez az Úr Shiva.
So if we try to imitate, and we drink a whole ocean of poison. We should not try to imitate.
Ne próbáljuk imitálni.
Similarly, one should not try to imitate the pastimes of the Lord.
Úgyhogy az emberek nem szabad imitálni az Úr kedveléseit.
For reasons which we already explained.
Azok miatt, az okok miatt, amiket már elmagyaráztunk.
That he is Krishna.
Ő Krishna.
And he's always Krishna.
És ő mindig Krishna.
And never will he not be Krishna.
És sosem lesz olyan, hogy ő nem lesz Krishna.
And we are not Krishna.
És mi nem vagyunk Krishna.
We are meant for Krishna's pleasure.
Mi arra vagyunk, hogy Krishna-nak örömet okozzunk.
If we remember that,
és ha erre emlékszünk,
we will never think of imitating Krishna.
Sosem fogunk arra gondolni, hogy imitáljunk Krishna.
In his pastimes with his gopis. All right, I took 15 minutes to answer your question.
Srimati Rajan Swami Maharaj ki.